Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, bringing you more stories about incredible women who share their knowledge and let you in on their amazing experiences, all to help you learn and grow along the way. My special guest today is Blanca Cobb. Blanca is the CEO of Truth Blazer. She's a nationally recognized body language and nonverbal communications expert who uses her behavior analysis expertise and psychology background to get to the truth. She's also a senior instructor at the Body Language Institute in Washington, D.C. Blanca is an in-demand media guest, keynote speaker, and coach who breaks down the complexity of human behavior to help people succeed in life. She's been featured on so many programs, Dr. Drew's On Call, Good Morning America, CNN, USA Today, Fox, ABC, CBS, NBC, and the list goes on. She's quite the media darling. Blanca uses her people reading secrets and lie-busting techniques to put you in the know, whether it's understanding what politicians are really saying with their body language, and we're seeing a lot of that today when they're on the campaign trail, or what your partner's smile really implies when you talk about settling down. All things we want to know. So without further delay, Blanca, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. So you're the CEO of Truth Blazer. I mentioned in the intro that you're a nationally recognized body language, nonverbal communications expert. How did you get into the business of body language? Tell us just a little bit about your journey to get there.
Well, it's both a personal journey and a professional journey. So one, like a lot of kids in life, unfortunately, you have a crappy childhood. Well, I was one of those. I was physically abused, among other things.
Oh,
so when I was little, I didn't realize what I was doing, but I had to figure out when I was going to get hit again. And one way that I did that is I really paid attention to body language movements. There were certain tones of voice where hands would reach for certain items, listening to changes in breathing, those types of things I figured out, but I had no idea what I was doing. I was just trying to figure out if I could avoid getting hit or beat, right?
So
then when I grew up, I decided that I wanted to do some psychology. So I trained in psychology and worked with kids for a while. So I'm a former practicing school psychologist. So I worked with children and parents from babies all the way up to college age. And I combined both of those two skill sets. And voila, here I am. But I started some body language training, I don't know, maybe it's been like 5-6 years ago, something like that. And I started training over at the Body Language Institute in Washington, D.C., where Janine Driver owns and runs the Body Language Institute. So when I went up there, she's like, hey, you're a natural at this. You're so intuitive. I think you can do this professionally. And one thing led to another, and now I'm a senior instructor at the Body Language Institute, and then I've opened up my own place in where I live, which is in North Carolina.
That is excellent. You literally took something from your childhood, almost survival, and brought it in such a way that it is your business and your life, and you're helping other people. That's really interesting. And you probably get questions like this all the time, but it's one of those questions where do you, as an expert, you recognize body language signals. Can we as the lay person also see these signals, or maybe we see them and we just don't know them? What are some of the more popular signals that we're getting?
Bingo, you said it. A lot of times you're reading it and you don't even know what you're looking at. You have this gut feeling. You're like, oh, there's something about this person that just rubs me wrong. Or it could be like, oh my gosh, where did she come from? Where has she been my whole life? We get along. Like, I cannot believe. She's like my sister, right? So you get these, right? You get this sense, you get this feeling about people. So that's what happens. But some big things that you really look at and you pay attention to but may not realize is that you can tell, like, when someone's really happy or someone isn't happy, or someone's very confident or not confident. And let me give you an example that even children figure out. Let's go back to Walt Disney's Winnie the Pooh and think about Eeyore. Let's think about Eeyore a second. How does Eeyore carry himself? He walks very slow. He has his head slumped down, right? He's looking down.
He's mopey.
His shoulders are slumped over. Very mopey. Good way of putting it. But then when you look at Tigger, what do you see? Energy.
Oh, bouncing around. Energy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you see with Tigger. So I illustrate this point for a reason, because even children can pick up on the body language. Eeyore doesn't have to say, I'm unhappy with life, I'm pessimistic, I'm not sure what tomorrow brings, any more than Tigger needs to say, I'm on top of the world. He demonstrates that by jumping up into the trees and not coming down.
That is so true. What an easy example and a way of looking at something. And if, let's just say, if Eeyore, the way that he is kind of mopey, if he walked around saying, I'm so happy, nobody would believe that, because you're right, the body language says it all. So your body tells a story, basically, is what you're saying.
Your body reveals what you try to conceal. That's the bottom line to it. So many times when we're talking to someone and we don't want to let them know that we're angry or we're upset or we're ticked off, and people are like, how are you doing? We're like, fine. Right? You get that one word response, but you're looking in the other way, or you're looking down, or you're not paying attention to the person. There's a disconnect, and I think that's what you're alluding to, that there's a disconnect in what you're saying versus what you're showing. And when you have that disconnect, people are going to believe what you're showing, what your body's saying, versus the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we're getting signals all of the time. What happens if, we start getting a little bit better at reading the signals in the body language, and you are with a person who is in power. Let's say it's your boss, supervisor, recognized influencer that you've always wanted to meet at an event, and they overstep the body language barriers. Can you do anything?
Sure. You use your body language to set up parameters, to set up boundaries. So let's say you got a boss who's a close talker, likes to get right into your personal space. What can you do besides calling the boss out, which probably isn't a good idea initially, is that you can put some distance. You can take a step back nonchalantly. Don't make it obvious. You could put a chair or have a table in between you two, or if you don't have those objects, you can grab a glass. Like, say you're drinking something, a bottled water, or say you're at, a networking event and your boss is there. You can have your drink. You can have something that serves as a barrier, a physical barrier between you and your boss. That's sending a silent message. You need some space.
Right, and you're not insulting anybody that way.
Exactly.
Because chances are that person, it's just the way that they come across, and they don't mean to get into your space, but that's just how they are. So I really, really like those examples. And maybe also if you could, let's transition over to body language showing confidence. So if you're a woman and you're going into a really important meeting in the boardroom with, the CEO and the CFO of the company, what are some ways that your body can show confidence so when you're speaking, it aligns with what you're saying?
That is a great question. And what I tell my coaching clients who are women is that you have to present yourself big. And what I mean is, confident people, they take up space. They're not going to act like Eeyore in the boardroom. They're going to be more like Tigger, right? They're going to be more like Tigger. They're going to take up space. So when they're sitting down, instead of having their hand on their lap, they might do an elbow pop. So you can envision an elbow pop. You're sitting in the chair, and you have your elbow popped back over the back of your chair. That's taking up some space. Or you're going to sit with your knees at each corner of your chair. So instead of having your legs close together or crossed, you're going to take up some more space. And that's the whole point of confident people, is that they feel good about themselves. They're going to project that positive energy. Shoulders are going to go back naturally. When you're talking to people, you're going to be, your chin is going to be up, not arrogantly up, where it's like you're looking up at the sky, but you're going to be level-headed. and you're going to be looking at all the people around you. And that's what you need to do to present some confidence in the boardroom when you're talking to higher ups.
Excellent. And, you know, let's just say you're popping your elbow and you're sitting the right way with the knees positioned, as you said, and you're speaking to people, and you're, you know, before you were saying how sometimes you can sense things. So I know that I read somewhere that you have these lie-busting techniques. So how can you kind of, can you share a glimpse of this so that even if you're at your best confidence, you can spot when someone isn't quite on your level?
One thing that you could do, and this really doesn't speak to body language, now we're transitioning into a different topic, which is called statement analysis. The research has shown that statement analysis, and this is where you're analyzing someone's words and their grammar.
Ooh.
That is going to give you a better sense of veracity, of truthfulness, than looking at someone's body language, and let me tell you why. Because body language, you can show anxiety or stress through your body, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you're lying.
Okay,
let me give you a good
that's a great
example.
Point.
Let me give you an example. Let's say that you ask me, let me give you something that I'm not guilty of. Not just kidding. Let's say that you ask me if I ever, what could I have done? I don't know. I'm not good at this. I don't know. You ask me if I embezzled $20 million for my company. Okay,
yeah,
something
there
crazy.
You go.
All right? And then I look at you, and I'm like, well, no, of course not. So I give you a little laugh there, and I'm saying, like, of course not. And then as you're looking at me, I give you a little shoulder shrug. So when you give a shoulder shrug, that implies uncertainty. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. Right? What do you want to be when you grow up? I don't know. You know, you shrug your shoulders. So in a sense, it's not necessarily that I'm lying. Maybe I'm uncomfortable because I know that my colleague has stolen some money. So I'm uncomfortable with the question, not because I'm guilty, because I've got knowledge about somebody else. So that's where people need to be careful, because when people see body language signs, they're like, aha, I know what you're doing. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're up to. And that's not necessarily the case. However, when you're examining someone's words, you're paying attention to what they're telling you. So if they are changing pronouns, if they're using present tense when they should be talking past tense. So, for example, if they're talking about something that happened in the past, then all those verbs need to be in the past, not the present. Because if they're using present tense, they're making it up on the spot.
Oh, my
goodness. Whether the event happened 3 seconds ago, 3 minutes ago, 3 years ago, 30 years ago, it should be in the past.
In the past tense.
That's why examining someone's words is going to really tell you more about veracity.
Yeah, so you really have to be careful. Otherwise, you could be accusing somebody of something you think they're doing, but in essence, really, they might just know somebody who did. Or feeling uncomfortable that you're even asking the question to begin with.
Exactly. Oh, and that brings up a really good point. A lot of innocent people will show signs of nervousness. Why? Not because they're lying, because they're afraid of not being believed.
Great point. I'm talking with my special guest, Blanca Cobb, CEO of Truthblazer and a nationally recognized body language expert. In the next segment, Blanca will share her thoughts on body language and the presidential candidates.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Blanca Cobb and I were just chatting about body language signals and even overstepping body language boundaries. Blanca, so, you know, there's so much going on now with all of the presidential candidates and the debates. I've been really wanting to ask you the question about Carly Fiorina's body language during the last debate on September 16th. What was her body telling us?
Well, first I want to start off with that she presented herself and she came out on the stage and that fabulous power color of blue. It was awesome. Yes. The way she presented herself.
Mm-hmm.
She did so in a very powerful way. I did like her body language, but what I didn't see a lot of, which I want her to bring the next, moving forward in the next debate, is to use more hand gestures. When we're talking to people, we want to be able to see their hands, particularly palms up. That implies I've got nothing to hide. I'm being open. I'm being level with you. So I'm not saying that she needs to do it every time, but to just
right.
use some more hand gestures when you're talking, because what body language does, it accentuates, it serves to highlight what you're saying. Now, whether you agree or disagree with Donald Trump, what you see is what you get with him. His body language
yes.
matches his words, matches the power, matches the energy.
Yes, it certainly does. He talks with one hand. Does it matter? I notice that a lot with the, I'm not sure if it's his right hand that he uses to emphasize, and I think he used it more when he was getting frustrated. But is there a difference? Does it matter if you speak with one hand or both hands going? What's the best practice?
Well, I'm not sure there's a best practice, but what happens is whatever hand dominant you are is the hand you tend to talk more with. So if you're right hand dominant, you're going to see people using their right hand more than their left. And likewise, if you have a left-handed dominant person, they're going to talk more or use more of that left hand than the right. But a lot of times when you're doing what we call a steeple or a basketball steeple, and this is where your fingers are almost touching each other, or they are touching
yes.
each other in a traditional steeple, or they're not touching each other, but your palms are facing each other in a basketball steeple, you're using both hands.
Right.
For example, I believe, and you can't quote me on this, but if my memory serves me correct, if we go back in time a little bit with President Bill Clinton, when he was talking, when he was denying the allegations that he had slept with Monica Lewinsky, I believe
right.
he used the opposite, his non-dominant hand to make a point. And that's like, well, wait a second. Because most people use the hand, their dominant hand. So in that situation, that was a red flag for me when I was analyzing his body language.
But come to find out,
what did we find out? That he did indeed have sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky.
See, now only a trained eye would get that. I have a question from one of my favorite listeners who happens to be my mom. She noticed a body language gesture, which I don't even remember. And even if you don't remember it, maybe you could just tell us what it means. She could have sworn that Carly did a finger under the nose swipe at one point, very quickly.
Oh,
what does that mean?
Well, a lot of times, well, first of all, your nose gets a lot of blood. So when you're nervous or anxious, you might get a tingly sensation in it. And so some people will swipe at their nose. Some people will swipe at their nose when they're uncomfortable talking about something. Or in a high stress situation. It's what we call in my world. Yeah, what we call in my world, you know, like a self-soothing gesture. It's when one part of your body touches another part of your body. Think about when kids get hurt, what do moms normally do? They rub the spot where the child got hurt, right?
Right.
So it's a self-soothing gesture.
Interesting. Well, there was a lot of body language. Did it matter if somebody was standing upright or if they were leaning? Does that play into anything? Chris Christie was kind of leaning a little bit where, you know, Jeb Bush was standing back and standing tall. Does that make a difference?
Well, Chris Christie came across really likable and friendly. One of the
guys. Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm.
And part of that, he presented by leaning on the podium. It didn't come across
right.
as stiff. If it came across as stiff, then we would be like, we'd be shaking our heads going, wait a second, what's he
exactly.
trying to tell us with that? However, it just seems so natural. You know, when you're comfortable around people, your body language is going to be relaxed. So what
yeah,
that told me.
He did seem comfortable.
Yeah, he seemed very comfortable. He seemed like just like everybody else, just like me and you. That was awesome.
Right.
Makes him very friendly and personal.
Definitely. Well, speaking of feeling comfortable, so what are some good tips to ease your nerves before you go into that important meeting or event or media interview, whatever it is? What would you recommend?
Power poses. There was research done at Harvard University by Amy Cuddy, who is a social psychologist, I believe. Anyway, so she showed did a research study when you do a power pose for 2 minutes. So if you can envision Superman with your hands on
okay.
your hips and your feet spread apart, that's taking up some space. If you do it for two minutes, then what happens is your testosterone level increases and your cortisol level, which is your stress level, actually decreases. So it gives you more confidence. I do this a lot right before I do a media segment, is that I will go into a power pose and you psyching yourself up. You can handle
Definitely.
It. I'm going to be in charge of this. I know about this. This is my area, and you're going to present it. So doing a power pose, and so a lot of times people will tell me, or my coaching clients will ask me, wait a second, but this is right before I'm going to be presented. I'm in a big crowd of people. I can't do this power pose sitting in a chair. How am I going to do that? I'm going to look silly. I'm like, oh, yeah, you can. What you do is you take up space. You pop an elbow, or you put your hands on the armrest on either side of your chair and make sure that you have each knee open, right, to the corner of the chair and not your legs closed or crossed. So you can do it even sitting, or you can do a figure four in your seat if you're not wearing a skirt.
Right. Excellent.
So
and is this right beforehand?
Yeah, do it right before.
Right before you go on. Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, you can do it 5 or 10 minutes before. You go to the restroom, lock yourself in a stall, and do a power pose. Walk down the hall with your hands up in the air like you just crossed the finish line and you won victory. You know, that's what you do for 2 minutes. That's it.
Excellent. Well, so tell us how, you know, we have the calm the nerves and, you know, busy lifestyle with what you're doing, and it seems like you're on camera and doing a lot. What do you do to step back and relax? So for your free time, how do you focus on healthy mind and healthy body? Because that ultimately is going to help you when you go out there and you're presenting or whatever you're doing.
One thing about healthy mind is I love to exercise. I mean, this is my time, and I'm super creative when I exercise also. Like I'll just get all these great ideas when I exercise. And I do a variety of exercises, whether it's TRX, whether it's interval-based cycling. I might work with a trainer, you know, do a combination of cardio and light weights classes. So I do a lot to mix it up and get a lot of muscle confusion. I love
awesome.
That. I love to travel, and I love to read and have scandalous conversations with people.
But are you analyzing their body language?
No, not at all. This is how I learn. If you think about what I do, it's not always fun, right?
Right.
It's always,
yes.
Not always happy topics. So I'm like, oh, okay, let's get to the nitty gritty. Yeah,
that's so cool.
Let's go. Let's dive deep a little bit.
That's awesome.
And it's always fun.
It sounds fun. Where do you like to travel to, and what do you love to read?
Oh, oh my gosh, you really want to know what I want to read? Okay, truth or lie, I'll tell you the truth. I like books like 50 Shades of Grey. They're super fun. when I talk about scandal, I love to read scandalous. I'm very into fiction. I just need a break from reality. Because when I talk about crime cases or I'm talking about murder, that's a heavy topic. And so I just need to
really
escape for a while. Or I like mysteries. Good mysteries I love also. So those
awesome.
Are the types of
no,
books that
we all need an escape. That is so important. Well, so tell us, what advice would you give to my listeners who, kind of going back to that presence, how can they expand their presence in a bigger way? What would you say to them?
One is to really observe what they're putting out there. What are they showing to other people? How are they coming across? Okay. And for those who are saying, seriously, Blanca, I don't walk around with a mirror all the time. My answer is, go stand in front of a mirror or film yourself. Seriously. Before you're going to do the presentation, before you go into a job interview, film yourself. Watch yourself talk into a mirror. I do this a lot right before I go on air. I want to see how I'm coming across, because believe it or not, there are times that I'm making the same mistake that I talk to people about not making. But here's the deal. We're all human. And you have to practice, just like you have to practice driving a car, or riding a bike, or learning a foreign language, or learn how to cook. It's the same thing with body language. You have to observe yourself and observe other people to get better at it. It's like any other skill. You just can't pull it out and you're like, okay, I got an important meeting today at 2, so this is the time for me to put on my body language binoculars. No, that's not going to happen. It's not going to work.
Not going to work. No, would you recommend, let's say if you think you're perfect and you practice in front of the mirror and you still think you're perfect, but yet you're going out there and you're going to the meetings and people aren't connecting with you, or you're not really, you don't feel like you have the presence that you want, could you either work with a coach, or could you even have a really good friend or somebody that's worked with you evaluate you? Would that help?
I would recommend, one, you could work with a coach, so I'm definitely available. Or two, you go to someone who isn't your friend. Your friends, okay, the purpose of your friends, they're to build you up, not knock you down.
Right. Yes,
they,
that's
you might
true.
Put them in an uncomfortable position to where they're going to have to be a little more objective than they want to be. I think that's a big no-no. I think you're better off going to someone that you work with, you have respect for, you admire their opinion, but there's no skin in the game. So if they say
right.
something that you're not going to like, you can still have a professional relationship and move forward. Your friend, you're muddying the waters.
Yes, or your husband or your wife.
Right. Yeah,
so
exactly.
Great point. Someone who, you know, you've worked with, professional experience, you admire, but not too connected. That's
exactly.
really good advice. Tell us who's influenced you the most in your career. You have a wonderful career. Who's made
Janine
a difference
Driver.
In your life?
It would be Janine Driver over the Body Language Institute. It was the first time I had realized that I could learn body language. It wasn't just for the FBI or the CIA or the
yeah.
DEA, you know, that everyday people could learn it and use it to your advantage to develop healthy, authentic, functional relationships, personally and professionally. So when I studied with Janine has always been a big supporter. She's always been able to see some great strengths that I have that I either couldn't or wouldn't see at that time. Like one thing, Janine has always said, you should be on TV. I'm like, no, stop, change the subject. And she'd bring it back up periodically, and bam, here I am. I do a ton of national and local media, and I love it. But she was able to pinpoint, and here I am. If you're going to tell me I'm good, that's just a blanket statement. It means nothing. You need to tell me exactly what you're seeing so I can understand your opinion, your point of view, and your perspective. And Janine was able to break that down, and it took her some time to convince me, and I'm like, okay, let's do it. I'm ready. And then I ended
up
getting myself
on TV. And when you did it, did it feel good at first, or did it feel awkward? So that
no,
first
it was
time
awesome.
On television.
It was awesome. It was during the John Edwards trial here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And forth to D.C. so much. Anyway, I think I was in one of the overflow rooms. It was during closing arguments, and there were some news reporters beside me, but at the time, I didn't know who they were. I didn't know that they were reporters for one of the local stations.
Right.
And small talk, one thing led to another. They found out what I did. And next thing I know, I had my first media interview, and then I had my second media interview. And that was like everywhere. I mean, that was like on CNN and Good Morning America. I mean, it just went all over the place. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. But I realized that first interview that I did, I was like, wow, I allowed myself to take a risk, which I didn't know if I would be good at. And it just so happened that I was good at it, and it has led to continuous media engagements for me to talk about body language and how it affects people in different ways in their lives, either personally or professionally.
Well, Janine was definitely right. So, Blanca, where can my listeners find out more about you and your work?
They can find me on my website, which is blancacobb.com or truthblazer.com. You can find me on social media, whether it's Twitter. I'm hanging out on Twitter, on Facebook. Everything is at Blanca Cobb, or at LinkedIn, Blanca Cobb. That's how you can find me. And I love emails. I mean, reach out to me. Tweet me. Leave me a post on Facebook. Email me. It'd be great. I'd love to connect. And if there's any way I can help your listeners, I would love that opportunity to do
Excellent.
That.
And we definitely will. Blanca, thank you very much for joining us today and for sharing your work as a body language expert, giving us a lot of insights, even into our own body language and the people around us. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd also like to thank everyone for tuning into Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. And until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.